the covenant, the certainty of the Lord's lawsuit. O my people, what have I done to you? And by what have I wearied you? Testify against me. Micah 6, verse 3. Since the covenant did miracles of recreation after the fall, our unbelieving mind is constantly inclined to forget those miracles, exactly as miracles. And though the covenant is sharper than a two-edged sword, our flesh is continually trying to dull those sharp edges. So it is that just as in any covenant relationship, as soon as one forgets by rut and habit the majesty of grace, to leave only a poor boasting about the grace of the majesty, the false boasting appears, the false confidence and peace, the saturation of the flesh. One forgets then that the covenant places us every day in the sphere of justice and a lawsuit. Thus it is understandable that from the side of an unfaithful human community, the raising of a lawsuit within the covenant is continually postponed. The covenant starts from God's side always by a specific display and preaching of its stipulations. Think again of Abraham's street of blood. But from his side, man, according to the flesh, is always inclined to ban the hard language of lawsuits and court cases from his mouth and heart. Look again at the prophet Micah and his contemporaries. Who was it that opened the lawsuit here? It was not the people. The people would not even consider it. It was the Lord who opened the case and stated the charges. But also in this there is again something remarkable. For actually the Lord does not have a charge against the people, but the people have a complaint against the Lord, as we have also seen in the meditation of September 7. They only neglected to formulate those inward murmurings into a roaring charge before the court. O my people, cried God, what wrong have I done to you? How have I wearied you? Those were the two objections the people had against their own God. In the first place, the covenant obligations were hurting their nature and cultural life. The service of God made life so poor. Those people made a contrast of grace and nature, and they hated the rites of the temple because it seemed to deprive them of the luxury of all the palaces of the flesh. And in the second place, they complained that the covenant wearied the people. The people made a new law of the gospel in the covenant. It no longer recognized the liberty in the service of God, and thought now that the prophets of God Yahweh were only slave drivers, which imposed commandments and burdens, a yoke that nobody was able to bear. If the people had only made a charge of their complaint, if they had only brought their objections before the tribunal, which maintained its rightful place in the sphere of justice within the covenant circle, and never took a holiday, then the word of the Lord would already long ago have proven that charge to be false. Then the Lord could have answered that His grace does not harm nature and does not deprive culture of anything, but instead wants to liberate nature and culture from sin and self-willed actions. He would also redeem culture. Then He could have said that the gospel was not a new law, but remained gospel, and that indeed there was a yoke on their shoulders, which neither they nor their fathers were able to bear. Acts 15. But that also this yoke, no matter how tiring it was, served to bring the people to the Christ, since the law is our disciplinarian to Christ, also in the imposing of burdens. Weariness, that is the last word that the people can say about it. But with God the Lord, it is the second last word. The last word is rest. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But the people did not say anything, for they shied away exactly from the lawsuit, which in one stroke would have torn up their fabrications of lies and unbelief. But if then the lawsuit was avoided from the side of unfaithful children in the covenant, God, from his side, did not avoid it. And that is our salvation. He publicly displayed the complaint that we had mumbled in our hearts and called the mountains as witnesses. He cried out against his people, already for the fact that we did not loudly proclaim our objections against him. All this was indeed very terrible. But nevertheless, it is a great consolation. For when the Lord revealed the covenant again to us as a matter of lawsuits, he brought us back to the ancient terms, the ancient relationships of the covenant of grace itself, from which we had fallen into a false rest. And by a consuming fire in a revealing court case, he brought Israel back to himself, who had laid the terror of justice in the sovereignty of grace. Accept now again, O covenant child, this rule of the house. Have the courage, the obedience, to bring all your objections, all your doubts, and all your considerations before the tribunal of that God who has placed himself into a covenantal relationship with you. Then the transparency of the lawsuit will be the beginning of the verdict. But know this indeed, the covenant guarantees the certainty of its processes by God, indeed by God alone, as a plea for God's eternal good pleasure.